Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everyone, here at Freedomizer. Please join us at freedomizerradio.com. Our call-in number is 347-324-3704. We have a very special guest with us today. Her name is Tatiana Morris, and I'm hoping I'm saying that correctly. I'll get her correction on that as soon as she arrives. And in the meantime, I'm going to play a song that she wrote and performed. So thank you all for joining us today, and we'll see you on the other side.
I heard the same old song, so I went outside. People fighting, people living, people dying, and it's all so much to think about. It's all so much to worry about, it makes me cry. Need a better perspective, need some time to reflect it, to remember how similar we all are. We all want the same thing, a chance to follow our dreams, to raise a family of love and liberty. But don't forget the time we spent. We're not perfect, but we have good intent. And even though we make mistakes, we stay unified. So hold on tight. It's a hell of a fight. Keep you up in the night. But we have to remember, we're all on the same side. We're all on the same side. We're all on the same side. Late in the evening, and I can't seem to turn off the news, telling me that we're gonna lose, but we've already won. We've got a message and a voice and a song. Now if only we could all just get along. Put away the past and pride and leave the worries behind. Need a bit of perspective, need some time to reflect it, to remember how similar we all are. We all want the same thing, a chance to follow our dreams. We are a family of love and liberty. So don't forget.
We're all on the same side. We're all on.
welcome, Tatiana.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Oh, I'm so happy to have you with us today.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The only thing would be better is if it was in person, but we'll deal with the radio instead.
We'll deal with the radio instead, exactly.
Are you going to Tampa, by the way?
Pardon me?
Are you going to be in Tampa, by the way?
You know what? I lived in Tampa for in that area for 8 years, but no,
uh-huh.
I'm in Southern California now.
Oh, well, no, I was wondering if you were going for the RNC. A lot of people are making the trip.
Oh, yes. There are a lot of people that are making that trip. So you're going to be performing there.
Yes, I'm really looking forward, because that's why I figured we could meet there. Yeah, I'm going to be playing at Paul Festival, which is August 24th to the 26th. I don't know which day exactly I'm playing, but it's going to be either Saturday or Sunday, because on Friday I'm playing in Georgia, in Atlanta, for a different festival, Ron Paulstock. So it's going to be a pretty busy month with a lot of traveling, but I think it's going to be all good things. So I'm really looking forward to it.
I bet you are. So I picked that particular song to start off the program with. It's wonderful. I love it.
Oh, thank you. It's my newest one. I was just listening to it this morning. It's kind of like a happy song, you know? Gets you out of the funk.
It is. And that's pretty much the program that I do here at Freedomizer Radio is, I'm kind of the happy one.
Okay. Well, that's always a good thing. I believe in positive thought, for sure.
Yes. Freedomizer Radio is just an excellent avenue for people to come and speak their truth.
Mm-hmm.
And we've invited various artists, including yourself, to join us and share your music with us. And we really appreciate the fact that you shared so much of your music and allowed us to play it here on the station.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, it's you know, you guys are doing a nice thing for me. I'm happy that you're enjoying it and, you know, I'm playing it for people. Hopefully, you know, people will respond to the message. The message of same side, I think, is the most current right now because, you know, there's been so much infighting and everybody's bickering, and I think that everybody's got to remember that, you know, we're all on the same side. So everybody focus on what's important. So I'm glad that you like that song. It's definitely my favorite right now.
It was definitely my favorite. The program that I'm doing here at Freedomizer is about empowering people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, to me, that message was right on. Giving people an opportunity to recognize what we all have in common as opposed to our differences.
Yeah, well, I think it's an important thing to keep in mind right now, you know?
Yeah.
And as we go forward into the year, you know, this seems like a really charged year. So, I don't know. I just think that people got to keep a cool head about them. And also, we all have to keep having a little bit of fun, right? Can't be all doom and gloom all the time.
No. Exactly, and my whole thing is I'm not putting my head in the sand,
mm-hmm.
but I'm not focusing on the negative. I'm focusing on the positive, and I'm focusing on what we can do for each other as far as energy and lifting one another up. And music is one of the ways that I think people can do that the easiest.
Yes, absolutely.
So it sounds to me, based on your technical expertise, that you've been doing this for a little while.
Yeah, but by the way, that's not me playing the guitar and the mandolin on that recording. I actually play whenever I do my shows, but my friend Will plays on all my records. Well, my producer Will, he's also my friend. he's really talented technically with the guitar and proficient with every instrument basically. So, you know, I'm really fortunate. But you know, it's usually just me on stage unless it's with Jordan. So, I've been playing for a long time though. I should be a better guitar player than I am by now. Because I was playing since I was 16, so you know, it's been a little while now.
Well, I've heard you play, and I've heard some of the live things that you've done, so.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's facile. It's not terrible, but, I mean, when you're around somebody like Will, who's just, you know, really good, I'm a better singer than he is.
Keeps you humble. Around great people. And that's how I feel when I'm around any musician, because I'm not musically inclined at all.
But you appreciate it, and we need listeners. And I think music is one of the most powerful ways of changing the world, and I feel really fortunate to be able to represent the movement. So, you know, not completely. There's a lot of other people doing it too. But for me to be able to kind of get my creativity out and talk about something that I think is really important is great. You know, I grew up listening to music in I didn't grow up in the 60s, but, you know, I grew up in admiration of that music and of that time and what they were able to accomplish through music and civil action. And, you know, I definitely think that this freedom movement has given me something to think about, you know, beyond the regular things that go into life, of course.
Yes, of course. So have you been traveling very much? And do you travel with other artists, or are you meeting people up there?
Well, I've been doing a lot of different things. You know, me and Jordan Page, another Liberty artist, I mean, he's like the king. He and I do a lot of performances together. So, you know, he's definitely doing more gigs than I am. But, you know, we do a lot of performances together. We're probably going to duet a few songs down in Tampa. But I just got back from California. I played a concert at a conference, PopCon LA. I did 2 days of shows over there. And then I drove to Las Vegas with a friend, and we went to Freedom Fest, and Jordan and I sang at Freedom Fest. And then where did I go to? Oh, and then I went out to Colorado, and I found out to Breckenridge. Have you ever been out over there?
I have.
Or heard about what they're doing over there? It's pretty interesting. They created an alternative currency. It's called Mountain Hours. And that was really cool to find out a little bit more, because I had done a promo video and I didn't really understand what it was, but it seemed like just a really cool thing that they're doing out there, and they modeled it after Ithaca, where they have an alternative currency system in place, and they've generated a lot of jobs doing that and everything, so that was really nice. And then, yeah, I've got, you know, a bunch of shows coming up where I get to travel. But it's generally just me, and I'll meet Jordan there, and maybe I'll drag a couple Liberty friends along for the ride, because, you know, we all want to kind of ride up together and turn it into a trip, you know?
Oh, absolutely. And adding one another's energy to each other, it's building that energy, and it just makes it much more powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I wish I could bring Will with me on the road, just because, you know, we have a really good musical chemistry, but unfortunately, I can't. However, hopefully me and Jordan will be able to put together a tour, and I love playing with him. So,
I've heard some of Jordan's things. In fact, Evergreen was the first one that I ever heard of his,
mm-hmm. And
I was very impressed, and after that, I went out and listened to an interview of his, and he's very politically savvy. It's for such a young person to be so in tune with what's going on.
Yes, no, Jordan knows a lot of stuff, and he's wonderful just as a person in general. I've seen him do interviews, and I'm always just impressed with him. I'm a little bit more new to it, I guess, so sometimes I feel a little bit shy about it, but it's nice watching somebody who's been doing it for a while and has something to say and is so eloquent, you know?
Yes. Yes. I was explaining to Proof the other day, I said, you know, I feel like a young kid who's been dumped in another country, and I've been around all of this new world order and all of these other different topics for a little while, but I understand a lot of it, but I don't speak the language yet.
Right. Yeah, it can be a little bit tricky, but I mean, yeah, I actually had a you know, sort of a spirited debate last night, and I was just wishing that I had more time to learn things. You know, people who have been kind of really following how it goes for years. They have such a wealth of information. You know, I want Tom Woods' brain so I can, you know, deliver my my opinions on things and really be well informed. But it's a learning process, so
it's
exciting regardless.
It is, and I admire you for getting out there and being up front and center.
Well, I think it's you know, I think it's the greatest thing an artist can do is stand for something like this, you know, and to fight for something. What's the point of having a talent if you're not going to use it for good, or at least what you think is good? I know. Well, no, I know it's good.
Oh, that's a very good point. So, what do you think? Do you remember what actually got you into the truth movement as opposed to love songs and that sort of thing?
I mean, I was very aware of, you know, alternative thought processes for a while, you know, an alternative way of, I guess, viewing the world. So, I mean, I was somewhat awake for a few, I don't know, maybe like 4 or 5 years now. No, I guess longer than that, 7. But and I liked Ron Paul in 2008, but I liked Dennis Kucinich a little bit more. I didn't understand everything with Ron. So, you know, I would have a friend of mine, though, last year, he started coming over and showing me all these documentaries and stuff, and we would have these great long conversations, and that's when I fully understood the platform and what he was fighting for and what all these different things meant. And basically, in the beginning of the year, I started going to events, actually in late December. So it hasn't been that long, but yeah, that's what I've been doing with it.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. Well, I'd like to play another one of your songs. Do you have a great favorite among the ones that were sent to me? Let's see, Let It Go and Make a YouTube Video, Playing the Card, and Evolution to Revolution are the ones that I have.
I would say let's do Playing the Cards. That's definitely one of my favorites. I actually wrote it as a response to I was having a Facebook conversation with a friend, a new, you know, how you have all these Facebook friends, right? They're different than regular friends, but they're still there. And so we were talking, getting to know each other, and I asked him if he had ever served in the Army, because I have a lot of veteran friends. And he said, no, you know, but his father has cancer caused by Agent Orange, so his father wouldn't let him enlist. He forbid him to. And you know, I mean, what do you say to somebody when they tell you a story like that? You're just like, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Like, I wish I could say something else. And he said, oh, it's okay. He's just playing the cards he was dealt. And I thought that was, you know, a really weighty thing to say, you know, really heavy. And then I started thinking about some other friends that I had met along the way and their stories, and it inspired this song. So, yeah, let's give it a listen.
Okay, very good. Well, thank you. Here is, and please pronounce your last name for me.
Moroz.
Moroz. Okay, Tatiana Moroz, and Playing the Cards.
He's a miner. And his daddy builds guitar while he fights the cancer caused by Agent Orange. When his son tried to enlist, Dad said, please don't do this. You should get a job and raise a family. When I heard his story, made me want to cry. Thought of all the good boys who had gone up and died. So I told them I'm sorry and what I felt. But he told me he's just playing the cards. He was dead. And he fights for us to be free, but now he does it with a pen and
Thank you. I used to get choked up when I would sing it because I thought it was such a crazy story, you know?
I bet. Well, it's always nice, you know, when you hear the backstory behind why an artist created a particular song or poem, what motivated them and what moved them to create the song. So thank you for sharing that story.
Oh, you're welcome. I mean, I think it helps people kind of connect with the song, too, you know?
It does. It does. So, have you always written your own songs? Since you've been performing? Or did you start performing other people's songs?
I mean, I always kept a journal since I was a kid, but I didn't start writing songs until after college. I would guess like around 22 years old, or maybe actually the last year of school. So let's say 21. But before that, I definitely used to sing other people's songs. I got started out in choirs and in, musicals in school. And I took some voice lessons for a few years, from like 6th to 8th grade or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to sing in a band, but I don't know, my guy friends had their own bands and they were tough, so I didn't really have anyone else to play with. But then when I went to Berklee College of Music, I started singing jazz and some more pop stuff in general. And then basically around the time that school ended, that's when I started writing.
Oh, excellent. So who were your favorite artists when you were young and singing other people's songs? Do you have any favorites?
Well, Cat Stevens for sure. I remember going skiing with my mom, and, you know, the ride to go skiing was about 2 hours, so she would always play great music in the car, and, my father is the singer. My mom has a pretty voice, too, but, my father, he sings, like, kind of Tom Jonesy kind of music, but my mom, listened to Rod Stewart and Carly Simon and Cat Stevens and Simon and Garfunkel, And, you know, The Phantom of the Opera was one of my favorites, just from a small child. I loved that CD. So that's kind of where what I grew up on. And then in college, you know, it became Pink Floyd and Jewel and Fiona Apple and Alanis Morissette, Nirvana, Guns N' Roses. So I've definitely gone the gamut. And then in college, that's when I started listening to a lot of Billie Holiday and Nina Simone and Ella Fitzgerald, all of which I count among my great influences, you know, because it was a nice crossover from doing musical theater stuff to do jazz. And I still love jazz. If I could, I would sing jazz songs too, but it just doesn't, you know, I think you have to be a really good instrumentalist in order to play jazz. So maybe one day, you know, I have a few jazz songs. I should probably maybe release them, like, for fun.
There you go.
Yeah, like old recordings.
Yeah. Well, we're at the bottom of the hour, and I need to take a commercial break. And when we come back, let's see. I would like to share another one of your songs, if that's okay.
Oh, yeah, sure. Play them all. what were you thinking? Maybe we'll do a... I don't know. Take your pick. I chose the last one.
All right. Well, thank you all for tuning in to Freedomizer Radio. We'll be back after this short commercial message. So thanks for tuning in. Our call-in number is 347-324-3704. So thank you very much for tuning in, and we'll be right back.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from libertystickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's libertystickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to libertystickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. libertystickers.com. The world's most dangerous stickers.
Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me. What legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights. Or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 911 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 911 in Plain Sight, William's first production, are all available at williamlewisfilms.com. Get your DVDs today at williamlewisfilms.com. Educate against the police state.
Lindsay Williams on Freedomizer Radio.
Proof Negative, I love the title that you use on your radio. I've thought about it ever since we talked on Off of the Air the other day, and I'd say that's an excellent title for a talk show host.
Hey, Freedomist, join me, Proof Negative, weeknights, 9 p.m. to midnight Eastern, 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific, as we fight the New World Order together, right here on Freedomizer Radio, your exclusive home of the Proof Negative Show.
Please learn more about Freedomizer Radio by going to freedomizerradio.com and also Facebook us right at freedomizerradio.com. Catch you there.
Well, thank you for joining us here at Freedomizer Radio. We have a special guest today, Tatiana Moros, and we'd like to play another one of her songs for you. So thanks very much for tuning in. Our call-in number is 347-324-3704. We'd love to have you join us.
What do you want me to do? Just stand on by, waiting to hear the truth. I've only heard the lies. Gasoline and high inflation, burning up the world. Time to teach the Constitution to every boy and girl. Get back to the Constitution. Revolution, we just want to save the nation.
Joining us, Tatiana.
Oh, I'm happy to be here.
What was your take on Ron Paul dropping out of the race?
I mean, he didn't exactly drop out. He just stopped campaigning. Some people will argue and say that he may still win the nomination because he has a plurality of states. I just saw I don't know if you ever watched Ben Swan Reality Check, but he's got you know, some theories about that, and he's not the only one, that he may be able to win a speaking slot and possibly get the nomination still. So I haven't completely lost hope. But, you know,
either.
I mean, it's hard to campaign out there, and I think that his message is really what's important to him. And I don't know if the establishment would ever let him be elected in the first place, but, you know, I after seeing how much voter fraud was going on, you know, it's pretty disheartening to have any faith in, you know, it's like you don't even want to have faith in the system at all, to be honest. But he definitely has his message growing, and there will be other candidates after him. And, you know, a lot of people have been inspired by him to run for office. So I think that we're winning the war. It's just the battle that is a little bit tough right now. I mean, the message is out there. You see how many college students he touches, and if you have the youth, then they're shaping the future. So In a lot of ways, I think he's winning, but not in the actual presidency sense. And it's not looking good, let's be honest.
Yeah. Well, I had some similar feelings about what he's actually done.
Mm-hmm.
It stimulated a lot of people to take action, where people had been sitting on their laurels, so to speak, and all of a sudden there are people out there who are getting involved in their local communities, and all because of him, because they're emulating him, and it gave them strength.
Absolutely, and it gave us a direction, you know? And I think that once people are really educated about it, it's impossible to not wake up. I mean, I think the Fed is a really easy entry point for people, because when people find out they're getting ripped off and fleeced, and this is why they have to work two jobs and they still can't make enough money to get out of debt, I mean, you know, when people figure all this out, that's when people get motivated, for sure. And I think it's the right path to take, you know. We can't just take it all lying down, for sure.
Absolutely. So you said you had some of the Ron Paul rally.
Excuse me?
You said you've been to some of the Ron Paul rallies?
Yeah, well, in Philadelphia, I got to sing for Ron Paul, which was great. You know, it was 4,300 people standing there in the pouring rain. It was so cold that day. But I got a chance to sing that day, and it was really, really incredible. But I first met him when I was in New Hampshire campaigning. You know, I went door to door and put some flyers out and that sort of thing up there. And we went to hear him speak. And the place was completely sold out. They wouldn't let people in. Not sold out, but, you know, it was at capacity. But so I stayed upstairs. It was at this really cute little hotel. And after he spoke, I went downstairs just to see what was going on. Maybe I could get in there. And he did a little mini press conference after most people cleared out. So I got to see him speak up close and personal. It must have been, I don't know, 15 feet away or something. And afterward, I went up to him. You know, I really wanted a picture with him, but there were so many reporters there. Oddly enough, none of them seemed to be reporting on him, but they were all there kind of crowding around him, and I did get to shake his hand, and I kind of made eye contact with him, and it was something I'll never forget as long as I live. And then down in Philly, I got to meet him again, and that's when I got my picture. So I'm pretty satisfied with that, and Mrs. Paul even signed the family cookbook, so that was pretty cool, too. I mean, she's a really, really nice lady. She's the grandma that anybody would want, you know? What a first lady she would make. I mean, she's so classy and just, I mean, real and down home, you know? I don't know. She's everything that you would want in a person, in a first lady, I think.
What a unique opportunity for you to be able to meet him and share a little time with him, perform for him. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah, it was cool. But to be honest, I don't think he was there when I was singing. So, you know, it was still cool, but I do wish he was there when I was singing because, you know, that's a little bit different. But, you know, I may get to, you know, you never know. Maybe he'll be there when I'm singing at Paul Fest.
Yes. Well, and you know what? You get to motivate the people who came there to see him. So it's a vicarious kind of thing, I guess.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. But, you know, people, he's still drawing the crowds. I'm curious how it's going to be down in Tampa. I hope a lot of people can make it down there. They have a lot of affordable options. You know, they've even got some camping packages. I know that Adam Kopesh is going to be doing an event down there at the same time with all the veterans showing their respect for Dr. Paul. So it's going to be a really high-energy week with a lot of activities going on.
Yes, it should be. Okay, well, I'd like to play another one of your songs, if that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Which one are we going to do this time? Maybe I'll give you a background on that one, if there is an interesting story.
Well, let's see. The other two I have are Let It Go and Make a YouTube Video.
Make a YouTube Video was my first song about, you know, overtly, you know, Ron Paul, even though I don't actually say his name in it, because I wanted people to stop arguing and to, you know, get involved and get active and look on the internet and look up the information, make sure that they're really speaking the truth. And then, of course, make a YouTube video. We've got the internet at our fingertips, so we should be using it to spread the message and to spread information and to do it in a loving way, I guess. So maybe we can do that one.
Okay, sounds good. So Tatiana Moreau with Make a YouTube Video.
Who are these monsters inside my head? They give me uneasy feelings. They tell me go to sleep, just go to bed. But I'm awake and I'm not dreaming. What can I do to make a change? 'Cause I just wanna be free. Just want love and liberty. Call up a friend, send a message, tweet it up or make a YouTube video. Speak your mind with education. The knowledge starts to grow. So make a YouTube video. Make a YouTube video. We all know about corruption, and we have started to dissent. The banks, the Fed assassination, but you can't kill 99%. What can we do to make a change? 'Cause we just wanna be free. We don't want. Just want love and liberty. Call up a friend, send a message, tweet it up or make a YouTube video. Speak your mind with education. The knowledge will start to grow. So make a YouTube video. Make a YouTube video. Patriot in this civil war. Won't find him on the TV or on the radio. Whoa. We have the power to ask the question. We can finally find the truth. Turn to each other, sister and brother. Reach out to one. Make a YouTube video. Make a YouTube video. Make a YouTube video. Make a YouTube video.
Well, you're certainly right about the internet being a powerful tool, and I hope more and more people just take advantage of that fact and use it like you have for creating YouTube videos and sharing your music. Would you share with our audience how they can find your other music?
Oh yeah, sure. They can go to my website, Tatiana Moreau's Music, which is TatianaMoroz.com. My Facebook is Tatiana Moreau's Music. My Twitter is Queen Tatiana, and my YouTube is Forevermore Tatiana. So they can get, you know, I have a full band CD, Tatiana, my original one, and then, you know, I've got a bunch of different fun stuff on the website. I hope to hear from people and, you know, drop me a line, say hello or something on Twitter. Twitter.
On tweet.
Yes. Tweet it up. I'm trying to think if there's anywhere else. But, yeah, no, I mean, most of my information is on TatianaRose.com.
Good. So, you said that you have some engagements that are coming up. Do you want to outline those again for us?
Oh, absolutely. I really hope that everyone can come down to Paul Fest. That's August 24th to the 26th. But then before that, we've got, and that's down in Tampa, of course, Liberty Love Fest, which is libertylovefest.com for more information, on the 17th and 18th. Of August up in Worcester, Massachusetts, so my Northeast friends can go over there. And then on August 24th, I'm going to be playing Paul Stock. In September, I'm playing the Spirit of 76 Festival in Connecticut, September 8th with Jordan Page. September 22nd in New York, where I'm going to be playing the End the Fed Rally. And then finally, I have Liberty Fest on October 13th. So that should be a really great time, and I hope that people can come out because that one's in New York City, and that's really easy. But, you know, I'm always booking new shows and trying to put out some new music. So, you know, people can just stop by my page and say hi. That would be great.
Great. Well, I know you were very accessible to me, and I really appreciate that.
Oh, well, it was my pleasure, definitely. So, hey, let me ask you something. What happened with the 20 minutes a day peace affirmation thing?
Oh, we're still doing that.
So when do you do it? Every day? Is there a time?
We don't know, and it's not set up to do it at a particular time during the day.
Oh, so you can just do it at any point and just say something nice. I have the email. I have to look at it a little bit more, you know, in depth. But it sounds really great. I think that's a wonderful way for artists to contribute to the positive energy of the world, for sure.
Exactly. And this all started from an interview by Tom Casella, who's a friend of mine from RTR.org. We met there. I don't know if you're familiar with that particular Patriot social network.
I don't know. Maybe not. What is
it? Yeah. It was RTR.org.
RTR.org. Okay, I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, and that's where we met, and mm-hmm. he's a teacher for special needs children.
Right.
And one of the things that he was interested in is obviously music, and I sent him a YouTube on the Flower of Life back in September, October,
mm-hmm.
and it said about the Flower of Life having music in it, and I didn't understand it, but I thought Tom might understand it. So I sent that to him, and what happened was over the next, you know, day or two, he put together music theory within the Flower of Life and found the pattern of music. And,
oh, wow.
And he's writing a book on music theory based on what he found. And over the next few months, he was reading various things, and he came up with a theory, because he's done a lot of study in various different kinds of avenues, and more recently on music and sound and frequency. And basically how we are all, everything we see, including ourselves, is made up of frequency. And the idea is that our brains are instruments. And when we think, we create frequencies that ripple out into the energy field of the universe. And musicians are more powerful in that arena because they are actively creating good vibration. So the idea is set your intent to play your music for peace and prosperity across the world. And the whole idea of 20 Minutes for Peace was basically to change people's energy for 20 minutes a day. And if you can do that for 20 minutes a day, it doesn't matter where, when you do it. It would be nice if we could do it all at the same time.
That sounds a little bit more unrealistic, but I love it. I'm going to do it today.
Awesome.
Yeah. I like that idea.
When you listen to the interview and understand how powerful we all are and using our brains as instruments, using our intention as an instrument to put out into the world this extra vibration of peace and harmony. Everyone across, we're reaching people internationally.
I totally am with you. I still listen to some Louise Hay and Wayne Dyer stuff, so I'm all about the positive attitude. I think that they're not exactly the same, but, they kind of all go together. I'm with it. I like it.
Well, and our thought was to reach musicians first. So our first event was calling all musicians and thinkers, and then we did that program that I dropped for you, the interview, so that maybe when you listen to that, it'll give you another idea. Because what we want to do is we want to get musicians who are in a position like you are to share that with their listeners when they perform and perform for peace. It was one of those things that Tom said, during an interview we watched together. It was John Lennon's interview. John said,
oh, cool. Which
do
one?
Do everything for peace. Wash your hair for peace. Walk your dog for peace. Make love for peace. Do everything with the intent of sharing peaceful vibrations with the universe. And it's a growing movement. We have a lot of people who are participating on a daily basis, and it's growing. So we're
I like it. It's really cool. Do you know what time or... Yeah, I think I figured out how I could find it. How can other people listen to this if they want to get in on our conversation and find out a little bit more? They can go to blogtalkradio.com/freedomizerradio, right?
Well, freedomizerradio.com, we have an archive section on the front page under FR Tour, so you can always go under there and find the archive.
And then what's this one called, though? What is this interview called?
Our interview?
Yes. Yeah, the one that you talked with your friend, the music theory guy.
Right. That was a Team Free State program on June 23rd.
Okay.
And find it by searching on Tom Casella. And we also have a Facebook event called 20 Minutes for Peace that people can come and join and listen to the archive and participate with people who have been practicing this. And, well, it's been a month now.
I'm looking it up right now. I'm going to share it on my page because I've been over at that page before. But
yes.
It's not coming up. What's the name of the Facebook event?
20 Minutes, and it's spelled out. 20 Minutes.
There was my problem. Yeah, because I did the numbers. Okay. 20 Minutes for Peace. Great. Excellent. So, yeah, I'm gonna tweet about that or at least put on the thing. This is great.
Yeah, excellent. Well, thank you very much for asking. That is exactly what started this Be the Power program at Freedomizer Radio at the end of the program. I'm not a big talker. I had a brain event it was some kind of electrical event or some kind of stroke or something that happened to my brain, and I don't talk very well, and I'm learning to do it. I'm learning all over again. And
oh, I don't know. Your voice sounds so nice and calm and soothing. I didn't pick up on it at all.
Well, thank you. I struggle. I struggle with my words still, because I can gather my thoughts, but my words don't come as easily as I can think them. So I was co-hosting a program here at Freedomizer Radio, and mostly I was just running the board and doing the technical part in the background and facilitating guests, but I wasn't really doing very much talking. And it was that particular program that spurred me to actually fill in a blank we had here at Freedomizer Radio at 10 to 11 on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and introduce various artists and to share the message that Tom had started. And it sort of developed into See the Power in You, and a program that helps people to get in touch with their personal power and recognize that they are more than they think they are, and they have more power than they think they do. So that's where this all came from, was from that particular program. And that's why you're here, because of that particular program, because otherwise
wow.
I wouldn't have found you.
Yeah, definitely. I'm tweeting about this right now. I just found this thing. I look forward to trying it later.
Oh, excellent. Well, it's been wonderful talking with you. I'd like to share another one of your songs, if that's okay, and take us out.
Sure. Let It Go is the one you have, and it's actually the first song off of my album, Love and Liberty. So if people want to, you know, if they like what they hear, they can go to my website, TatianaMrose.com, and pick it up.
All right. Well, we'll see you on the other side of this song, so stay tuned.
Thanks.
The planets fade, the stars align, and some of us strike gold. You hold on to the things you have. You watch the road ahead. A shaky faith in miracles gets weaker in your head. Let it go. Don't think about it. You just show the world your beautiful. Let it go, 'cause you don't need it. Just go outside and be happy today. Now we all have sorrow, and we all have faith. We have faith in mercy, forgiven, amen. Trouble and heartache. Keep your bed warm. So go ahead and live it again. Let it go. Don't think about it. You just show the world your beautiful face. Let it go. 'Cause you don't need it. Just go. And be happy today.
I feel like it chills people out, that song, a little bit, you know. I actually, when I first wrote that song, I wrote it because my girlfriend, she had had a bad breakup, and I was just trying to be, you know, a supportive friend. But when I got involved with the Liberty Movement, and, you know, you get into so many different arguments with people, political arguments, and everybody just gets so bent out of shape, I thought that it had a nice application to that, too, you know. Don't get into, I guess, it just, you know, you're not going to convince everybody to come over to your thought process. So it's not worth getting all upset about.
No, no, it's not. And one of the things that when we were talking on the interview with Tom is that some of the studies that they've done, it only takes 1% of the population to make a change in the whole of the population.
Yes, so, absolutely. I mean... No, go ahead.
So when we do our part, whatever little part that is, me doing a little radio show and you out there performing for all of those wonderful people who have come to listen to you and to join together for a bigger cause, those every little part makes a difference.
Yeah, the energy when you see that many people coming together, it's really, really incredible. It's better than a regular concert. I mean, I think that this movement and this thought process evolution has a, you know, it's really, really inspired people and deep down in their souls. It's like people, my guess would be, for example, if people were on Prozac or something and they, you know, were really depressed, if they found out about the Liberty Movement, I don't think they'd want Prozac anymore. Well, some people would still because they need, you know, they have chemical issues. But I think that people, mankind, is depressed. And on some level that we're not really that conscious of why that is, or a lot of people aren't. But I think that when you start to hear the truth and you see through all the lies, and it really gives you a renewed sense of life. And to play to an audience of people like that during these really important times, I mean, we're really making a change in a somewhat similar way of the 20 Minutes for Peace.
Yes, yes. And you get to do it with big crowds and all that energy. So congratulations.
Yeah.
On your career taking off.
Thank you. It's been a really wonderful year, I have to say. It's been, you know, I feel like I found a home.
Well, and I think it's just going to get better.
I think so, too. I feel pretty optimistic. We've got a little bit of fighting up ahead, but I think that, I don't know, I think we're going to come out with the truth will win and good will triumph over evil.
Well, I believe that, too. I know there are a lot of doomsayers out there, but it doesn't sit in my heart. Doesn't
yeah,
it?
But I think it is possible that things are going to get pretty bad. So, I mean, people just got to keep a good head on their shoulders and keep fighting for what's right.
Exactly. Well, thank you very, very much for joining us. I really appreciate it, and I wish you much luck on your tours. And in your career.
Oh, well, thank you very much for having me on. This has been a really nice way to, you know, it's afternoon over here in New York. So it's been a nice little break from the day to sit down and talk about these things. Thanks again very much for having me.
You're very welcome. And I hope that maybe one day we can get you and Jordan on together.
Absolutely. That would be wonderful.
All
I'll have to talk to him about it when I see him in Tampa. I'm sure he'd love to.
Okay, that would be great. Well, thank you once again.
Thanks again. Take care. Have a wonderful weekend.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Well, that was Tatiana Morrow, and you have all of the information to reach her and get in touch with her on Facebook and on her website. So please feel free to contact her and share your thoughts about her music and give her encouragement and support, because these are the kinds of people that we need out there spreading this kind of vibration. And obviously she has a wonderful vibration about her. So thank you again. We really appreciate having her. Freedomizerradio.com. And it's at the top of the hour, and we're going to take a break. And when we come back, I'm going to share with Miss Cookie. We're gonna share some things this afternoon. So thank you all for joining us, and we'll be back after this message.
Do you believe we are not alone? Are you intrigued by the paranormal and psychic phenomena? Have you ever wondered if there was something abnormal about how the society operates? Do you believe you are here to do more on this planet? Do you feel as though you are living in a prison country or planet rather than a sovereign nation? Does it feel like you never had any constitutional rights, or that they are ignoring it as if it wasn't important? Join me, Joanna Johnston, psychic empath and spiritual warrior, on Illuminating Minds on FreedomizerRadio.com every Sunday night, 7:30 p.m. to 9 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, beginning on January 8th, to move further down the rabbit.
Lindsay Williams on Freedomizer Radio.
Proof Negative, I love the title that you use on your radio. I've thought about it ever since we talked on off of the air the other day. And I'd say that's an excellent title for a talk show host.
Hey, y'all, this is Ron with Ron's Media Maker. I would like to invite you to listen to my show every Tuesday from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And for our international listeners, that's 1,800 hours to 2,000 hours Greenwich Mean Time right here on Freedom Out of the Radio. I always interview a broad spectrum of guests ranging from entrepreneurs to the eclectic. I also like to keep you up to date on the latest breaking news in geopolitics, world events, astronomy, technology, science, and how it relates to the 21st century and an emerging global order. Be sure to visit our website at freedomizerradio.com, take part in our lively chat room, visit our sponsors, or read breaking news articles on our Twitter feed. You can also find out more about the wide variety of shows and hosts at freedomizerradio.com. If you'd like to comment or speak with a guest during the show, just give us a call at 347-324-3704.
Rob Nellen Live is a show exposing the fallacy of the right-left paradigm while promoting liberty and freedom. A plethora of guests will challenge the establishment, mainstream media, the New World Order, and hopefully you. Listen to Rob Nellen Live Sundays between 3 and 4 p.m. Pacific Standard Time right here on the Freedomizer Radio Network.
Okay, well, we're back from our commercial break, and I'd like to play a song of Jordan Page's. We mentioned him during Tatiana's interview, and I'd like for you to get a little taste of his music, and then we'll be right back.
There's a strange vibration rising now from the heart of America. is the ghost of Vietnam through a veil of napalm. Don't forget your mistakes and where you came from.
Okay, well, we're back. Thank you very much for tuning in to FreedomizerRadio.com today. And I have my co-host with me, Miss Cookie Zinda from Wisconsin. Hi, Cookie.
Yes.
These young artists, I'm so impressed.
Oh, I am too. Anybody that can sing or anybody that can play a musical instrument and have power behind them like they do is just awesome.
It is. It is. And it's
they're singing truth, too. That's what is so exciting, because they're getting the movement out there through music and song. Just that last song that you played, it's interesting that it has African music kind of connected with Indian, also playing a tom-tom. And then also I could even hear a little bit of like belly dancing music in there and different types of sound. And, oh, it was beautiful, just actually very, very intriguing.
Yes, that was Jordan Page, and he's another truth singer. And he and Tatiana are friends, so it's nice that these people are gathering the troops.
Yeah, they have beautiful voices, very, very nice voices.
Yes. Well, that's one of the things that I don't have that. I just don't have that. I don't have the musical talent in my body anywhere that I've been able to find yet. It might be lurking in there somewhere. I haven't found it. So I really
well, it obviously is there, because you can hear it, feel it, and you know what's good. So obviously you are attracted to the gifts of those individuals that have it. So you've got a good hearing ear for it, you know.
I guess, and everybody has to have their part. You know, if musicians wouldn't be out there playing if they didn't have anybody to play to. So I guess that's my little part.
Yeah. Well, and with us knowing the power of music and how it can change thought and feelings and emotions, just think about the different music that you've heard in your lifetime and how it has actually had a change in movement, you know, for making change, you know, whether it be radical or not. I remember that one song about when I was younger in the 60s, where in the 60s all the guys wanted to grow their hair long, and then, you know, there was that song about putting the hair up under the hat and trying to get a job, and then he took his hat off in front of the guy, and he said, "Why would you want to hire a guy like me?" And his hair fell down, you know what I mean? It just, you know, it actually makes people stop and think, because, you know, you're judging a person just on the color of their hair or the length of their hair, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So, you know, all this movement that's going on out there. But what's interesting with Freedomizer Radio, like your guest the other day said, you have to have your health. That's the most important. And the red team is doing everything possible for us to not have our health, whether they're doing low-frequency things or trying to change the weather or HARP or GMOs or, you know, weather modification, or keeping you so busy that you're trying to make a living, that you don't have time to hear the news and see what's going on in the world. But the thing is, when you have your health, then you can get up and fight, or you can work, or you can make a difference by reaching out and doing different things. But the thing is, we all know, too, that fighting doesn't get us anywhere. What needs to be coming together is a world of peace and love and consciousness and acknowledging the differences in each and every one of us so that we can actually prosper, and then look at the world where we do have problems. And instead of fighting about it and arguing about it, which gets you nowhere, do something about it. So when I think, like, okay, here we got the windmills out there, and they say that the low-grade noise to those windmills affect anything around it for miles and miles, and can actually, we had a guy on one time that it killed 17 of his cows. Now, the thing is, I love seeing those windmills, and I love the purpose of them being low energy as far as keeping our electricity bills down and selling, you know, maybe electricity to the companies so that we are able to use wind power. But why can't somebody make a wind power machine that has a high frequency that would be beneficial for all of us, that would bring up our frequency and actually make the cows give more milk and do different things? I mean, it's a matter of using our brains and our consciousness and petitioning the Creator and saying, hey, you know, this is what the problem is and this is what mankind's doing. How can we counteract it? So, you know, from one show, it might be about health. From another show, it might be about movement and getting together, such as the ringing of the rivers. And then there might be another one which has to do with water. Another one might be from a political point of view and how to support and get your freedom and take a stand on certain things. And then another one's from a religious point of view, and what I mean by religious, spiritual point of view, by acknowledging that we're a free person and that what we need to do to respect and show love to one another and agape love by being kind and supportive, you know.
Yes. Okay, I'm just finishing up my radio show, Katie. So close this. Play out there. Thank you. Oh, well, it was really nice that she had heard about the 20 minutes for peace. I had shared that with her on Facebook, and it's nice that we got a chance to talk about that, and I hope that more people will go and check that out.
Well, maybe they'll come up with a song about 20 minutes for peace, and it'll be so using such nice musical instruments and song and dance that people will start getting a ring on it. You know, certain things, because of the internet, you know, certain things can get out there, and it's like you said, it goes viral or whatever, however the terminology you guys use. I mean, I remember my day and age, a lady that was in her 80s became very popular by just saying, "Where's the beef?" You know, and it went all over the world, and everybody knew that saying. Well, you know what, maybe we need to think of and make it a matter of prayer of a movement where 20 minutes of music will bring up the consciousness and the vibration of individuals to unite together for peace, you know, and for change and for balancing off the earth and, you know, doing the things that if we all unite in consciousness as we're all thinking of the song, singing it, and dancing to it, it really could make a big difference, you know?
Yes, yes. it will make a big difference. And I hope you're right. I hope somebody picks up that idea, listens to Tom's program, and creates a song for it. That would be so awesome.
And I didn't mean that it wouldn't make a big difference. It makes a big difference, but one person can make a difference. And so the thing is, when two people get together, it makes even a bigger difference. And so that's what your program about, See the Power, and also ours on Saturday night, is about making changes in our own physical bodies to bring up our vibration, to bring up our frequency, so that we can heal, we can repair, we can become strong, and then we can make our light shine, and then as our light shines, we spread outward to our neighbors and friends and relatives by setting the example, and then pretty soon it becomes catchy and everybody else wants to jump aboard. And, you know, we've been talking about how color and sound and smell and touch, and how using our intuitive powers to create with our creativity and our emotions and connecting to the Creator, and how we have the power to make a difference. We have a power to overthrow anything negative out there by just focusing on it. So if we can say a proclamation on HAARP, and if HAARP is what's causing, let's say, all these areas to be dry with drought, according to Christ Jesus, he was able to control the weather. So now, do we have that ability now in the time of the end to control the weather also? If we put our consciousness all together, make it a matter of prayer, and put out about the rain, and maybe sing and dance to a song about rain and how much we love the rain and, you know, everything positive. Can we counteract HAARP? I believe we can. I believe we have the ability, because if we didn't have the ability, then why are the forces at B on the red team so set on making sure they feed us drugs so they numb us, so that we lose our minds, and that we have Alzheimer's, and dumb us down by TV programs? And why are they trying to put GMOs in our food so that we don't have certain frequencies in our body, or vitamins, minerals, amino acids, or puts toxins and poisons? Why are they doing all these things to such an extent? And we all know why they're doing them. So the point is, the reason they're doing it is because they're in fear, and they're afraid we're all going to find out. And when we do find out, they're scared of our power. Well, you know what? We've had this power since we've been born. And just because a lot of us have been blinded by not knowing we had the power, now it's coming to the fore, and it's opening up like a big flower just blossoming for the first time, that guess what? There's nothing for us to fear. We need to put out the power. We can do this. And not only that, we've got the support of the universe and the support of other individuals in the world.
Yes. I listened to a documentary, wasn't that long ago, about consciousness and how, consciousness, I'm trying to find the name of the program that I went out and listened to. It was on YouTube, and it discussed how Edward Bernays, I don't know if you know that name, Cookie.
I don't think I ever heard that, no.
He was a relative of Freud, and he convinced people that we were a dangerous breed, that we had all of these things in our subconscious that made humans dangerous. And they specifically hired him and various companies to promote products and to change the way people think on a subconscious level to affect them and really take away their personal power and make them afraid of each other and separate one another. It was a very interesting program. I wish I could find the name of it at the moment, but I don't seem to be able to put my...
And the point is they've been doing this for 50, 60, 70 years, and, you know, it's like a ripple effect. Of course, it's getting worse, but at the same time, there's this undercurrent that's going on for truth and for righteousness, and it's coming to the fore, and, of course, truth stands. You know, there's a thousand different theories out there, but there's only one truth. And usually, like we had talked before, that word that I can't say, Ackman Rays or whatever is, usually the solution to any problem is the simplest. And the simplest is prayer. The simplest is energy. The simplest is changing our conscious minds into our subconscious minds by going with truth. And anybody that's living on the earth today is here for a purpose, and they already have been downloaded since the day they've been born with the truth in them, knowing what they need to do. And when they hear truth, it rings right in their heart, in their gut, in their mind, and they know that's truth. They don't even have to do any research. I mean, when it says that we should just learn to love each other and accept one another and refuse to fight, everybody goes, yes, that's right. That's what we got to do. Now, how do we go about it?
Yes. And I'm going to drop a link in the chat room for you if you're listening here at Freedomizer Radio. It's one of the YouTubes that discusses Edward Bernays, and it's one of it on the art of public relations and the power of public relations. And it's really the art of manipulation. Okay, we're going to, if we're at the bottom of the hour, so we're going to take a quick commercial break, and then we're going to come back. And when we do, I want you, if you don't mind, Cookie, is to share our what is it? Not just women. Yes. Oh, that would be lovely. Thank you. It is kind of hot in here. Thank you very much. Okay.
This is Debbie.
And I'm Michael, along with CD, the Constitutional Defender Dog. Is mainstream media giving you the real stories, or are they just telling you what they want you to hear?
Join us for Securing Liberty on Freedomizer Radio, Thursday evenings at 11 p.m. Central.
We'll be joined by great guests, discuss interesting and important topics, current events, maybe even a little humor. Be prepared for anything.
It will be 90 minutes of information sure to help you on your quest for truth. So join Securing Liberty at 11 p.m. Central on Freedomizer Radio.
Hey, everyone. This is Valerie Ann with the Truth Exposition 2 show. I know you guys were listening to me last night. I hope you're not getting sick of listening to me tonight. The reason why we started a little late, there was a pre-recording, and I'm a little new with the switchboard, and I didn't know that I can just click an ad. And it ends. So I'm sorry that you may have not been listening to anything. There was a pre-recorded show, so it should have been, that's what you should have had. I think you guys are going to have to refresh. So I'm going to type in the chat to refresh. So again, I'm really sorry to make everyone wait. And I'm going to be discussing Earth Changes. In the show, this is my first Earth Changes show, which is different from my regular show, which was on last evening on Saturday from 10:30 p.m. to 12 a.m., where I discuss other topics such as the NWO and martial law, the National Defense Authorization Act. So this is different, obviously. And the reason why I chose the Earth Changes is because, number one, I think it's a very significant topic
to discuss and a significant topic also for our listeners to enjoy. I'm in the chat all the time, and I see everybody discusses seismic activity, the frequency of earthquakes, the frequency of tornadoes, sinkholes that have been happening in the last year worldwide. So I just figured that this would be a great topic to discuss. The call-in number, if you guys want to have anything to say, it's 347-324-3704. What I do want to start out discussing is the, you know, I have not arguments, but I have debates with people all the time where they say, well, we've always had earthquakes and we've had droughts. But let me tell you something. We've had tornadoes, and I understand that. Yes, we've always experienced such activity. But the problem that we face and what doing my research, I would say from maybe 2010, even late 2010, early 2011, these events are happening more frequently. Now, that is the kind of red flag that goes up in my mind, is the frequency of these events, not that these events are actually occurring. So we know history has always shown that there have been earthquakes nationwide, small seismic activity, one point something in the ocean, like 100 miles down. Yes, it's always happening. But the thing is, it just seems to be more frequent now, so which caught my attention. So I started conducting my own research so I can share this information with you. I did want to discuss, I have a call that I'm going to bring in a minute, but I did want to discuss the drought that has been happening throughout the U.S. A few weeks ago, I was reading an article and I was listening to the news that basically said that the department, I think it's the Department of Agriculture, issued a state of an emergency stating that 26, and this was a few weeks ago and it's getting worse, 26 states, not even countries, 26 states alone, and other countries they're experiencing droughts as well, and I'm sure everybody knows this, 26 states are in a state of an emergency because of drought. And I remember also listening a few days ago on the radio that, I forgot what state it was, but there was a state that said that they just received, they were so happy they got rain, but it wasn't enough rain to remedy the destruction of the crops. So when people tell me, well, we've had droughts, there was a major drought, I think it was in 1958, anybody can correct me in chat or anybody calling in, but that was a major drought, but not like this. And people don't understand, just because, you know, oh, it's a drought, it'll start raining. No, it's when there's a drought of this significance, when there are droughts of this significance, it causes major impacts on these crops. And especially now, the major impact, the major crops that are impacted now and have been in the last few weeks are corn crops and soybean crops. And when our crops are impacted to such a magnitude as they are now, there's it creates a food shortage. Not only does it create a food shortage, but it also creates an economic impact as well. And especially now, the last thing we need is more economic impacts, more problems with our economy. Now, they're also saying, experts are saying that if corn crops and soy crops are impacted, that also causes, it kind of snowballs into offsetting and affecting beef supply, poultry, pork, dairy, and especially fluid milk. And I read this in an article. And an increase on food prices would take 10 to 12 months to move through retail food prices. So what you buy in the store now is going to increase through the retail prices. And that's going to cause, because now most stores sell it, at least the stores I go to the little fruit stands in Brooklyn. They have them all over the place, and they're fresh, they're organic, and I usually go there. And they sell wholesale, at least the ones I go to. What's going to happen is, this is going to be a major impact, again, on our food production, our food supply, and our economy. So now I may go to, you know, Three Brothers in Brooklyn, because it's a big place that everybody goes to, that sells a lot of organic vegetables and fruits and everything and natural foods. I'm going to spend, it's going to be, they said that it's supposed to increase to 4-5%. Now, that's a major impact. And so not only, again, is there a problem with our food supply, there's also a problem with the it has an economical impact. And also, a few weeks ago, I was reading another article that the Mississippi River is also depleting. It's also drying up. And the Mississippi River, we use to transport coal and other natural resources throughout the United States, and that's very important to have the Mississippi River. That would cause that would be detrimental to transportation and for food and, again, coal, stuff that we need, the basic necessities that we need. So that is going to cause a major impact. Now, I have a caller, so I'm going to bring in the caller because he or she has his hand up. 915, you're on the line.
Howdy.
Hi. Larry?
Yes.
Hi, how are you?
I don't know yet.
What's
wrong with my phone?
Your phone sounds fine here.
Okay, well, it's a long story, but anyway, there is a silver lining to this drought.
Okay.
Corn and soy, 93% of those crops are GMO.
Oh, see, I missed something in my research.
And I really don't feel sorry for a farmer that lets himself get hoodwinked into GMO. And I don't mean to be cold-blooded, but, you know, I've known old-time, old-fashioned farmers that won't get caught in the trap of all this crap, and they don't have the problem. Also, there are some places in the country that aren't affected by the drought because they irrigate.
Right.
So no matter what the weather,
right,
they irrigate.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I think the past few years we've been having droughts on purpose, because they cause a drought. And I know this sounds like conspiracy crap and all this, but think about it. 3 years in a row, they cause a drought to where your plants die off. You lose most of your crop. What crop does survive through the drought? Then all of a sudden, right before harvest, you get these torrential rains that ruin the crop you did have survived the drought.
Right.
So you wind up having nothing at all because the rain killed the remaining crop. Rain's good and rain is bad because you need it at the right time.
Right,
okay?
That's true too. And if the rain's too much, it gets destroyed as well.
Take this from a farmer, among other things. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I'm not just a truck driver. I do farming, welding, carpentry, many trades. But anyway, certain crops, you get rain right before harvest, you're in trouble. Soy, wheat, all your grains and stuff, corn, you can have your corn fall over because of the rain. And then it rots,
right,
and all this other stuff. You know, cabbage, stuff like that. A little bit of rain's not going to hurt. You can still go out there and harvest as long as you don't get mold and all that. You don't want your cabbage and broccoli and cauliflower to get mold. But,
right.
Yeah, I've seen farmers lose their crop where the corn fell over because they're a shallow root crop, okay? And when the ground gets wet, well, what happens? You don't have deep roots, so that big old tall plant with short roots falls over, and they can't go and harvest then. A lot of people don't understand that, but that's okay. That's what you get for being in the city. But just trust me on this. I know. But, I don't know. Oh, as far as sinkholes
yes,
happen because the water table drops. And the water has a pressure to it, right? And it goes up and down. But you lose too much of your water table, and the next thing you know, the earth on the surface doesn't have that support from the
right,
water anymore.
Pressure, right,
and so
exactly.
It falls. I've seen it happen in Florida, Missouri, places in Texas. You know, and I'm Now, with my well, it's deep enough to where I'm not really worried about it. It's the more shallow wells that cause the sinkholes. Like,
how long have you seen that occurrence, though? Have you always seen them, or you think there's
more frequency now? Since I was a kid. Yeah, I remember back when I was in high school, back in early 70s. Yeah, I know, I'm dating myself. I'm an old fart. Get over it, people. Anyway. I'm sure there are people that are older than me. Mr. B's older than me. Hey, there you go. But anyway, there was a giant sinkhole. It was like 60 or 70 feet deep, and it was humongous in diameter. I don't remember the exact amount of feet, 100-some-odd feet or 200 feet. I don't remember. But, yeah, it just, the water disappeared in Florida under the, you know, the water table, and all of a sudden the ground just collapsed because you didn't have the water supporting the surface earth.
Right,
okay?
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
And so that cavern, and it happens around places like Florida mostly. You won't find it very much in Texas and Missouri because we have limestone rock, okay, where Florida has sand, okay. With us, with our limestone, all you wind up getting is a big, humongous cave, and eventually it'll fill back up with water because limestone is, you know, pretty solid. It's, you know, stable. It's not going anywhere. So it's very seldom that you see a sinkhole in Texas. Because
well, there were two in Brooklyn in the last month and a half.
Hey,
and I don't remember
Brooklyn
them ever.
Right. I want more of an accent. You had to put that more of a Brooklyn accent. Come on. Come on.
I'm trying to get rid of it.
Come on. Yeah. I'm just messing with you. Go ahead. Sorry. I had to give you a hard time.
No, you're fine. No, you're totally fine. No, I'm just saying that, I don't know, I don't remember there being sinkholes in Brooklyn, New York. I lived in New York all my life, and I've never heard of sinkholes happening in Brooklyn. And they happened within, I would say, a two-week time span, and maybe within a nine-block radius.
How big?
And that's what I just find odd, because they're also finding,
I
remember, one was like 50 feet deep, but they were pretty big. They were
okay, those are tunnels that caved in. Yeah, those are tunnels that caved in. That's not water.
Because we're not far from the water. I'm literally, I mean, these actually happened closer to the water, and I'm like a half a mile away from the ocean where I live now. This
well,
was these
special?
Way closer.
You can just walk to the beach.
Trust me, I don't know. It's not like that. I'm actually a quarter mile away from the East River. You don't want to swim in the East River. I can't. Like,
you might
I'm
live,
not, like,
maybe.
To the beach.
People eat fish out of that. But anyway, here's the thing.
Yeah, they do.
Long time ago, back when New York City was still, you know, new and everything else, but in the late 1800s, they went crazy, doing a lot of stuff underground. They still do. But some of those older tunnels, they abandon. They don't maintain them. And they get old, deteriorate, and y'all are humid, okay, and moist, wet, and all that. And when stuff deteriorates, what happens? It falls apart, right?
Right.
And then when it falls apart, there's no support. And, well, when it caves in, then all of a sudden, when that tunnel caves in, the surface ground goes with it, okay? So then you get a sinkhole. Sinkholes are caused by various reasons. Underground tunnels collapse. Very seldom does it happen, but you'll get natural caves that might collapse, but usually it's because there's tremors.
Soil,
but
right.
You have a lot of basaltic and granitic, granite in other words, rock underneath you. So you're not going to get natural sinkholes most of the time. Your sinkholes will be caused by man-made tunnels that haven't been maintained, get old, deteriorate, and then cave in. And they're not going to tell you the truth because, one, they don't want people going in those tunnels. There's virtually basically an abandoned underground city of sorts underneath New York. Not literally like a town under there, but, you know, kind of, sort of.
I know what you mean. Right.
Yeah. Now, there are certain sections where there is places where it's old abandoned town sections where they just built new buildings up on top of the old buildings, and it's an underground abandoned town underneath. You don't want to go there. It has rats, trust me. But
oh,
anyway,
yeah.
But yeah, you'll see buildings start sinking sometimes. That's because the stuff underneath that you built on top of is deteriorating and collapsing too. But yeah, the sinkholes, it sucks if somebody's built on top of that old tunnel, but you know, it's not anything really weird per se. It's just, yeah, the tunnel's deteriorated and they didn't take care of it. You know, it's not used anymore. Now the drought, I think it's created, from what I've seen, in correlation to where, like for instance, where I live in Texas, okay? You go almost a 180 around the planet, and in Malaysia and places like that, they're having record rain. When you cause a drought, you're forcing all that moisture somewhere else, right?
Right.
Okay. And what they've done is, to cause the drought, they've forced all that moisture over on the other side of the planet. Does that make sense?
No, absolutely. I know, absolutely.
Okay, that's why they have those record rainfalls in Malaysia and all that. Yeah, they're flooding. I could use some of it.
It just seems that from 2010 to present, I was reading articles, and I've been, you know, kind of making a list of where they've occurred worldwide, not just here, but, I mean, there was one in Wisconsin recently. There were a couple, I think.
Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Now, you have to think about this, though. How long were they without rainfall? To them, when they say, oh, we've had record heat, what, it was 90? Sorry. I mean, you know, is this going by a person that has been living in the desert a long time ago? But, you know, to me, when they say, oh, we haven't had rain for a week, we're going through a drought. Hey, I used to live in a desert where we'd go without rain for 4 months, and that was normal. But, you know, I'm kind of jaded, I guess. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. No, you're fine. But the thing is, it just seems to be, well, the sinkholes and groundwater contamination. The article I'm reading,
yeah,
the cracks and crevices in Karstak is direct conduits for pollutants to enter groundwater, wells, springs, and streams. If you got a sinkhole, you've got a karst, K-A-R-S-T. So the thing is, it just seems to be odd that in the past, I would say 1.5 to 2 years, they've just been showing up. See, what I look at in my research in Earth Changes, I look at the frequency of events, not the actual events. Because, yes, sinkholes have happened. We've always, you know, the world has experienced sinkholes in the past.
I'm not going to ask your age. I was going to do a taboo thing. I remember back in the late 70s, 80s,
mm-hmm,
somewhere in New York City, somebody lost their car to a sinkhole.
Oh, I don't remember that.
The street caved in. It was, you know, and they told the truth about it. It was just an old abandoned underground tunnel that they was like, oops, sorry about your car. Did you have Prudential? State Farm, maybe?
Yeah, like I said, I mean, they've happened. I'm sure they've happened. Obviously, sinkholes will not just, they didn't just start occurring 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. It's, like I said, I look at the frequency of events. So,
yeah,
you know what I mean? And that's what I look at. Even earthquakes.
Be careful where you live in New York. With those tunnels getting older, you'll see more and more of them.
Yes, and that's another thing.
Because those tunnels are eventually going to cave in. They were made of brick.
I have to look and see if there were actual tunnels where those sinkholes occurred. They didn't say anything about
that. Gosh, I hope you don't live on top of one.
I'm on the top floor, and it's not a huge building. It's only a four or five floor
building.
Yeah,
wake up one morning and you're on the ground floor, you know something happened.
No, absolutely.
Hey, look, honey, we don't have to go downstairs anymore. How about that? We have a basement. Go figure.
Exactly. But I think, you know, I'm on the top floor. It's the worst thing that's happened. You know, I don't want anybody else to get hurt, but I'm on the top floor, so I was just pancaked down, I'm assuming. But the thing is, like I said, I look at the frequency of events. Like even volcanoes. I mean, we've always had, you know, we've had volcanoes for centuries, I mean, years, millions of years. But the thing is, the frequency of them going off worldwide now is just more frequent. So it's the frequency of events that I look at. So you have more sinkholes worldwide. You have more tornadoes. I mean, we had a tornado here yesterday in Queens.
Had a tornado in Queens?
Yes, we had a tornado in Queens.
Get out
New York.
Of town.
I'm not kidding. It was about 11:30. I have to look. I'm not sure exactly how big, but it was big enough to move, like push another car into another. So it wasn't like one of those. It wasn't.
No,
really
that's
wearing.
Not too bad.
It's not too
you
bad.
You want
to
see a tornado?
No, I know. There have been really, really bad. I'm sure you get them bad there. But the thing is,
man.
Again, we never get tornadoes. We've never, I think maybe there was a freak accident a long time ago, possibly, that I heard. But I'm telling you,
a few years ago, you had one go through the western side of New York along the interstate because I'm on my way up to Cuba, New York right now. I see all the trees that have been laid down from the tornado that went through there.
How long
it followed the interstate for a way. Gosh, it's been about 3 years ago or so.
Yeah, they had one. That's the upstate area of New York, right?
It was the west side. It followed, 86. What's the name of that number, that interstate? I don't know. I don't remember 81? Numbers. I just, it's an even number. It's 86, I think, or something like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there was one up there.
Anyway.
I remember that a couple of years ago, 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's
followed
the interstate.
We had another one. We had another one a couple of months ago, and now we had another one yesterday in Breezy Point, which is on right. It came right off the ocean. People were taking pictures of it. I mean, there were some cracks, you know, some damage to some buildings. Another car crashed into another car, like it kind of picked it up and moved it, but didn't pick it up.
Was it a water spout or was it actually a land tornado?
No, it came from the water.
Okay, it was a water spout that came on land.
Right.
Okay.
Exactly. But we never got them before. So, again, that's questionable because we never really had the climate for that. Now we do. I mean, to tell you the truth, New York, we didn't have a winter at all. We did not have a winter. And
I know, it's weird.
It's very weird. And
have you ever been out west?
I think as far west as I went, I've been to California, like, once, and then I went to Ohio once, which is really the Midwest. But on the West Coast, the only time
that's
I have on the West was?
The reason why I ask is if you drive across the United States on I-40, once you actually, there are old volcanoes in Texas. A lot of people don't even realize it, but I used to have a major in college with geology because I was going to be an archaeologist and all this other garbage. But anyway, on I-40, you'll go across a bunch of old lava pits. A few hundred years ago, before white man really explored the country a lot, actually there was a lot of volcanic activity in this country. It goes in cycles. And if
that
people don't
possible.
Really... Yeah, if people aren't familiar with geology a lot, they won't know this, and it,
right.
You know, that there are periods of time where there's a lot of volcanic activity, and then it'll subside for a while. And with volcanoes, you have to understand, you know, a few hundred years is a blink of an eye, okay? And we can't think in relation to our time. We have to think in the relation of a volcano. 1,000 years is like a day.
Right,
okay?
Exactly.
And
the thing with the volcanoes recently, again, it's the frequency of activity. So in the last month, we have the Santorini's volcano that I was doing the research on. That was in Greece. That's in Greece. That went off in on the 10th, which is actually today because Greece is, you know, because of the time zone. So I had actually seen the article that. It said, the article says, Santorini's volcano molten rock expanded 10 to 20 million cubic meters, 15 times the size of London, the London and Olympic Stadium.
Wow. That's a big dome.
Exactly.
They're talking about the dome that's expanding?
Yeah. The Santorini.
Hey,
that's what the problem.
Do you know,
I mean, it's, yeah.
Has anybody been watching Mount Vesuvius?
No. That's
in Italy. Mount Etna and Mount Vesuvius aren't that far away. I mean, for a volcano, that's like, you know, me standing next to you. They're real close.
Right.
So, and they're all in the same chain, so to speak. And that's something to watch for. Also, in this country, Mount Lassen, Mount Rainier, you might want to watch those, too, and see what they're doing. And then let me know, because I go up to the Northwest a lot and drive past them. I see them smoking, believe me, I'll call and let you know. But,
I know you better, yeah, definitely. But there was another one that went off.
I'm running, see ya, I'm out of here, bye-bye, I'm going back to Texas now.
Yeah, so I went to Nicaragua on September 8th. San Cristobal volcano erupted with 4 kilometers of ash plume. And you know what ash plume is? I mean, 200, and the ash plume rose.
It rose two and a half miles
into the atmosphere.
And then
hundreds
came
of
back
residents
down.
Were evacuated and everything.
Yeah, because that'll cause a pyroclastic flaw that'll roast you crispy critters.
Well, you know what we have to worry about, and they've been watching it. Scientists and they have been watching the Yellowstone Park. The Yellowstone volcanoes were, there was an earthquake there not too long ago. I think it was even last week, if anybody wants to correct me. I forgot to look at the date when I read. I don't know. I have to look and see. Today,
no numbers,
I wanted to do more research. Yeah, I didn't have the numbers because today I was just,
yeah.
I had the pet show this morning and then I was with my son, so I didn't get a chance to finish my research on that. But that is a major concern. I mean, if Yellowstone was to go off, I mean, a complete eruption of Yellowstone, that would block out the ash alone from the volcano would block the sun out. And
all across the northern hemisphere.
Yeah.
The northern hemisphere would be like a nuclear winter, because that's a super volcano. That's like 30 miles across by 60 miles, roughly.
Exactly.
It's very, very large caldera.
I also have, let me find this article I found. Hold on 1 second. And then I have to go to
commercial, pay bills.
Yeah.
I knew that.
New Madrid seismic zone. So the New Madrid, you know, the New Madrid. And,
well, that goes along the Mississippi River and stuff.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It, Memphis, Tennessee, St. Louis, Missouri, obviously Mississippi. And there's an article that says, in a report filed November 2008, the U.S. Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, warned that a serious earthquake in the New Madrid seismic zone could result in the highest economic loss during a natural disaster in the United States, further predicting widespread and catastrophic damage across Alabama, Arkansas, Illinois, Indiana, Kansas, Kentucky, Mississippi, Missouri, Oklahoma, Texas, and particularly Tennessee, where a 7.7 magnitude quake or greater would cause damage to tens of thousands of structures, affecting water distribution, transportation systems, and other vital infrastructure. The earthquake is expected to also result in many thousands of fatalities, with more than 4,000 of the fatalities expected in Memphis alone.
Wait a minute, Texas?
Yes.
We're so far away from that, it's not even funny.
I didn't say Texas. Memphis. It's probably, if I said Texas, I'm thinking of you come from Texas. I'm sorry. Memphis, everyone.
Oh, okay.
Memphis. Yeah, I'm sorry.
Oh.
The potential for the reoccurrence of the largest earthquake and their impact today on densely populated cities in and around the seismic zone has generated much research devoted to understanding in the New Madrid seismic zone by studying evidence of past quakes and closely monitoring ground motion and current earthquake activity. Scientists attempt to understand their causes and reoccurrence intervals. So they're actually watching this because they know how detrimental and catastrophic this would be. And again, going back to Yellowstone, that is, scientists are actually seriously worried about that. I mean, you can't really predict when a volcano is going to erupt. You can't even predict an earthquake.
They can monitor the magma pool down below. They don't know exactly what it's going to do, but they can say, you know, it might be good if you move away. you have to really move real far away because
things a lot. Exactly.
Yeah. You know, it's like, well, hey, there are stupid people at the base of Mount Shasta that decided to build a city. It's like, what'd you do? Have a double bowl of stupid for breakfast this morning? But anyway, yeah, it tasted so good we wanted to have seconds. But with Yellowstone, that caldera, if it went full bore, boom, boom kind of thing, the blast from it would be have a radius of 300 miles,
which
is huge. Okay.
I know it is.
Picture that, folks. That's just a blast outward in one direction. That's not diameter. That's radius from the center outward, 300 miles. And they because I watched this geologist do a seminar back when I was, like, into all this kind of stuff. And the look on his face was really funny because he was explaining it. It was, we used to not really realize how big the caldera was. And we were walking and taking measurements and realized that, oh, my gosh. I don't want to say on the radio what he really said, but basically, holy crap, in another way. He's like, this thing's huge. And that's when they realized it was a 30 by 60 or possibly 40 by 60. And they were like, oh, my gosh, we have to tell people. And it's like, I have news for you. I know a rancher that lives on the north rim that already knew because the ground on the south side of his property is too hot to walk on with shoes.
Yeah. You know what? It's scary because in doing my research, I found that earthquakes, like I said, have always happened. Just going to go back to earthquakes, it kind of has to do with that because any kind of earthquake in a volcanic area can cause the volcano eruption, obviously, right? I mean, not only an earthquake will cause it. I mean, there are other causes of volcano erupting. But I'm bringing up earthquakes because of the frequency of earthquakes. I mean, every day there's an earthquake somewhere in the world. It happens. I mean, a week and a half ago to 2 weeks ago, there was a swarm of earthquakes in California, and we counted.
Over 300?
There were over 300. I think we counted about, the news told you 300. The news said over 300. But what we counted, and I follow it on USGS, and that was only on USGS alone, whatever's reported through there. Now, we counted about 450 to 75.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of little shake, rattle, and rolls, I'll tell you.
Yeah.
Oh, baby, was it good for you?
I went back 7 years. It took me a long time to go through the years on a monthly or a daily basis to find if there was anything like that in the last 7 years to 8 years. The only reason why I went back to 7 or 8 years, my eyes couldn't make it to 10. So I'm just going back to maybe 7 years. The only time that I can see, unless I missed it, the only time that I can see they had 1,209 earthquakes in California. And, you know, some of them are small, like really small, like a 1.0 or 2.something. When you get over a 4, when you get over a 4 or 5 or something, even over a 4, that's when they kind of like, wait a minute, you know, got to be careful with the large aftershocks or whatever. But
there's something I want to tell you. Do you want me to tell you now or wait till after the commercial?
Yeah, no, I'm going to take a break. I'm going to take you. And then I'm going to be on.
There's a good thing about this. I'll tell you later, but there's a good thing about this.
Yeah, I want to hear this. And then when you tell me that, I'm just going to read a few articles, and then I can bring you back on, like, right before the, you know, before the end. Because there's certain things that I wanted to read that I found at the NASA website that I want my, you know, the listeners to also hear, as well as you. So, everybody, we're going to go to a break, and we will be back momentarily.
Hey, Vicky, Hottie, and Reno, what are you doing on Freedomizer Radio on Thursdays 10:30 p.m. to 12 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and Fridays at 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. Pacific Standard Time?
And I am going to be hosting the Heated Conversation.
Please join us as we talk about UFOs, weather, planets, asteroids, earthquakes, spirituality, art, secret societies, and current events. I think we should add that we always have great guests to pack chat room and very interesting conversations. With your occasional quirky way we give the news.
Just remember, on Thursdays at 10:30 p.m. to 12 a.m. Pacific Standard Time and Fridays 9 p.m. to 12 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, the Heated Conversation. Oh, and by the way, we have our always fun chat room at freedomizerradio.com. That's freedomizerradio.com. Just click the chat and listen button. See you there.
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing. Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com. But wait, there's more. You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
There's a saying that the only thing certain in life is death and taxes. Well, they should include hard drive failure as well. You can ensure your data is safe by using Maximum Archive's online backup solution. By securely backing up the Maximum Archive servers, your data is protected from fire, theft, or simple hard disk failure. Don't let your data go unprotected. Sign up for Maximum Archive today. Use partner code Freedomizer at checkout time and help fund the Freedomizer Radio Network. That's MaximumArchive.com. In today's economy, the ability to access data quickly can mean the difference between success and failure.
This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. Warriors, you are not alone. There are pockets of resistance all around the planet. We are at the brink. Read about it in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available now at newsstands everywhere. The Sovereign is a monthly 24-page tabloid newspaper featuring incendiary content about life during wartime in the age of Obama. Warriors, keep to date every month. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. Available at newsstands everywhere. This alert is for all you boppers out there in the big city, all you street people with an ear for the action. This is Mercy. If you're listening to this message, warriors, you are the resistance. This is Mercy. Mine will be the last voice you'll ever hear. Don't be alarmed.
Your life experience is right at your fingertips. You can achieve anything that you can think of. You have the power to change your experience anytime you want. Explore cutting-edge research on the brain, mind, body, and spirit, and how applying this information can mean transforming your every experience. Talk about all this and more every Sunday night, 4 to 6 p.m. Pacific Time, on the show It's Just a Ride with Tom Fisella, here at FreedomizerRadio.com.
You are listening to Freedomizer Radio, where freedomizers freedomize freedom.
Okay, everyone. Valerie Lavelle back with Earth Changes with the Truth Exposition 2 show. And I'm here with Larry, and Larry had something to say. It sounded like it was going to be definitely very interesting. So go ahead, Larry. You still there?
Yeah. It's not okay, like earth-shattering or earth-shaking, pun intended.
But,
okay, now, you have different kinds of fault zones. You have, like with the San Andreas, you mm-hmm. have two plates that, you know, one goes underneath the other. And people always say, gosh, you know, I wish an earthquake had happened in California. It fell off into the ocean. Well, it's not that kind of an earthquake zone. They slide. But
right, that's what it is. Right.
All plates build up energy when they're butting up against each other. Picture like a jigsaw puzzle of a weird way, okay? But if they don't have a lot of little releases of energy, then you get one big, giant earthquake eventually, because that pressure has to go somewhere. That's a lot of energy. And you can only build up so much energy before the dam bursts, so to speak. And when you have a lot of little ones, you are releasing a lot of energy, but over it's spread out over a period of time so that you don't have one big, gigantic earthquake. So it could be, excuse me, that all those little earthquakes spare you from having one gigantic earthquake. Now, the other problem, and there is a problem, I know I just spoiled the party because I was giving you a silver lining, but now there are times when a few, not a bunch, but a few little earthquakes can be the prelude to a big earthquake.
Right.
Now, with having so many like that, it makes me think that naturally a big one won't occur. Keyword naturally, okay? Because we know that certain idiots of mankind wanted to go play around and play God and make heart. Dumbasses. But anyway, you didn't hear me say that. And they can now make earthquakes, and they break out and go, well, look what we can do. Yeah, you're real bright. Uh-huh, sure, Einstein, go ahead. But now, as long as they stay out of the picture and don't mess with anything,
right?
Okay, then in theory, from studying what the Earth has done in the past, there shouldn't be a problem, because it wasn't like a couple of little tremors that was a prelude to a real big, massive earthquake. It was a whole bunch of little earthquakes to relieve a whole lot of pressure. Now, when you get earthquake zone or fault lines like in the Indian Ocean, the Sumatra earthquake, that was a different one. Those were two that butted up against each other. That wasn't a slip fault, okay? And it's like put your two fists together, okay, and push real hard. And that's what those two plates were doing. And pressure becomes so intense, something has to give. And so one goes up and one goes down. And when that happens, then you displace a lot of water, and then henceforth you get what they call a tsunami.
Right.
That happened in southwest Texas around Terlingua. It's on the middle of the desert, okay? But then you can find Terlingua on the map. It's down by the Chisos Mountains. It's pretty cool. And yes, folks, Texas actually has big mountains. Go figure. But anyway, there's a fault line down there, and the same thing happened. It's the same kind of a fault line on a smaller scale as what happened at the Sumatra. And it, instead of being 20 feet or 11 feet or whatever, it's only about, I don't know, 5 or 6 feet at its tallest. It's about as tall as I am, because I stood and looked at it. Anyway, but it was, you know, the land on one side heaved upwards because the pressure had to go somewhere. Okay? Now, granted, that, like I said, it's on a smaller scale, but I still wouldn't have wanted to have been there when it happened, because it would have, at the very least, knocked you on your butt, you know, and it wouldn't have been a fun experience, but, you know, you'd had to change your pants, but, you know, but the California one, you know, it's going to cause a lot of things to shake and rattle. The problem with L.A. is it's built on silt and sand and loose dirt and all this loamy kind of stuff. And so when it vibrates and shakes, it's energy, vibration, and it, in a way, kind of liquefies. And that's why buildings fall apart, crumble, fall on top of you.
Exactly, and that's what happens.
And ruin your day. Yeah. But it's,
that's for sure.
You know, proof isn't going to get beach front property anytime soon. So, proof, if you're listening, stop hoping. Ain't happening. Your real estate's not going to go up. I hate to disappoint you. You're not going to need your surfboard. All right. That being said, it's still, you know, serious. But, you know, yeah, the little ones happening like they did, eh, unless some jerk in control of heart gets crazy with the switch, then I wouldn't worry about it too much.
No, I know. But like I said, it's the frequency of events that I watch.
Yeah.
That, you know, that's pretty important. Not the actual event itself. It's just the frequency in the last year and a half. I just started doing the research. And, you know, there are different, you know, schools of thought on the causes of this. To tell you the truth, I don't believe in Gore's global warming. I think that is complete BS.
Yeah, it's a hoax.
But that's, yeah, it is. And that's just my feeling on it. And I think a lot of people, like, you know, you and I, Larry, believe that. I'm going to read some news. So, Larry, I'm going to put you on hold for a little while.
Do
you want to
sure.
stick around? Then that's cool. And then I'll pick
if
you up.
If I lose signal, I'll call back in. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Because I'm going down the road, but yeah, I'll be here.
Okay. All right, hon. So I'll talk to you in a few minutes.
Okie dokie.
All right, everybody. What I wanted to do is I found, this is from last year sometime, but what I wanted to bring to everybody's attention is I found this video. It was dated from February 2011. It's at Disclosed TV. And it's from the Stereo Behind One, which is a, you know, a monitoring system, obviously, with NASA. And it shows, I'm going to give you the description. I'm going to also post it in the chat. And it shows the slideshow is of a large brown dwarf, slightly bigger than our own sun, hiding behind our sun, making its approach towards Earth. These pictures come from NASA and the Stereo Behind One, which is meant to look at the sun, but has identified this dangerous brown dwarf star. So what I want to do is put this and enter this in the chat room. It's at Disclosed TV, and for those listening, you can check it out at disclosed.tv and just go to search and type in brown dwarf. So check out that Stereo Behind One video. It's pretty interesting. But I also want to bring up something else that I actually found the other day, and I did put it in the chat. And it was dated, let me see, August 30th, 2012. Now, NASA does not come out and discuss, doesn't call it Nibiru or Tyche or whatever, but I found this article and I thought it was pretty interesting. It says, I'm going to read it, from Pasadena, California, NASA's Dawn spacecraft is on track to become the first probe to orbit and study two distant solar system destinations to help scientists answer questions about the formation of our solar system. The spacecraft is scheduled to leave the giant asteroid Vesta on September 4th to start its 2.5-year journey towards the brown dwarf planet Ceres. Hope I'm pronouncing it right. It's spelled C-E-R-E-S is its name. Dawn began its 3 billion mile, which is 5 billion kilometers, odyssey to explore the two most massive objects in the main asteroid belt in 2007. Dawn arrived at Vesta in July 2011 and will reach Sirius, which is the brown dwarf planet they finally realized that was there, in early 2015. Dawn's targets represent two icons of the asteroid belt that have been witness to much of our solar system's history. To make its escape from Vesta, the spacecraft will spiral away as gently as it arrived using a special hyper-efficient system called ion propulsion. Dawn's ion propulsion system uses electricity to ionize xenon to generate thrust. And it talks about how it leaves the asteroid. It says Dawn's orbit provided close-up views of Vesta, which is the asteroid that they're monitoring, I guess, revealing unprecedented detail about the giant asteroid. The mission revealed that Vesta completely melted in the past, forming a layered body with a Orion core. So the reason why I bring up, and I'm going to, I don't think I put this in the chat, the reason why I bring this up is, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought NASA said there was absolutely nothing in the solar system that was considered a brown dwarf. They never really discussed it. I remember last year there was a segment on CNN. Again, I don't like mainstream media, but I actually happened to see this on YouTube when I was doing my research, and that was recent. So this CNN segment lasted maybe 4 minutes, tops 3 minutes, maybe even five. But anyway, that's irrelevant. So I was watching the video, and it said that NASA has located a brown dwarf star or planet in the outer skirts of our solar system. But then they give us conflicting information saying that Nibiru's not out there and Tyche's not out there, but there is something out there. We all know there is. There is also another article that I want to find. And let me see if I can find this. Here we go. Okay. Theweatherspace.com, I found, it says, brown dwarf discovered entering solar system. This is dated April 1st, 2012. Brown dwarf discovered entering solar system responsible for changing weather patterns. A brown dwarf has been discovered outside of the Oort cloud, heading toward the solar system. Scientists are not sure how fast it is moving, but have narrowed down the perihelion to just 0.1 AU from the sun sometime in December of this year. Weather patterns are changing worldwide, said the weatherspace.com senior meteorologist Kevin Martin. From HARP to chemtrails, now we are dealing with a force outside of our knowledge. This star's energy seems to be affecting Saturn as well, with consistent lightning storms and aurora. Then it says scientists at NASA are preparing to make a statement sometime in the next month. Now, this is back in April. So is this complete BS? Is this disinformation? Or maybe they've never made the statement. Maybe this is linked to their, to the article I just read about them trying to investigate this brown dwarf planet. So I try to put the pieces of a puzzle together. I'm not a scientist. I'm not an astronomer. I'm not an astrophysicist. But it doesn't take much to investigate, even from a lay point, a person's point of view, it doesn't take much to investigate something and try to put pieces together. So these could be many pieces of the puzzle of something being present in our solar system that is causing weather changes. Now, I just want to read on the article. It says, as the star nears the sun this fall, they call it the star in this article, large corneal mass ejections, and that's this fall, large corneal mass ejections will happen, according to NASA. We are anticipating the real possibility that the magnetic fields on the sun will interact with the dwarf star, given numerous sunspot developments to the sun. Now, I've been actually monitoring the sun's activity. And I have the NASA sites that I go to, the stereo head I go to. And as everybody knows here in chat, and we all discuss it in chat, this is the 24th cycle of the sun's activity. And there have been numerous sunspots in the last several months. CME flares are being ejected from the sun, some of them towards the Earth, but not enough to make an impact. And it wasn't even, I don't think it was in the United States there, seeing in Norway and over there, because I have a friend in Norway, they actually see the aurora of the solar activity, but we don't see it over here in the U.S., unless some of you do see it, but, you know, I think it's mostly over there in the southern hemisphere. But the thing is, this article predicted that there were going to be corneal mass ejections from the sun that will happen in the next few months and by the fall. Now we're in the fall. My weather doesn't seem like I'm in the fall when I'm here. It's still humid, but we're supposed to be in the fall. So they kind of predicted this in this article. So I continued to read on because I found it interesting for that reason. Then it goes on to say NASA will be developing special sunblock lotions to protect from UV 100,000 rays as the sun's influence burns the ozone layer away. Now, I read an article, it's at NASA, if I just remember it off the top of my head, so I'm just going to discuss it. NASA actually found several months ago a breach in our magnetosphere. So if that happens, what happens? Radiation seeps through from the sun, and because of the sun's activity and the corneal mass ejections that have been happening in the last few months, we're definitely being hit with an increase in radiation. So that's another thing that they predicted in this article. Then it says, if UV 1000 is experienced, immediate human combustion is expected. If inside, expect rapid melting of the roof. Set air conditioner units to the coldest possible to give an extra 3 seconds of relief. The UV 100,000 rays continue to be experienced. Please try to call 911. That is, if the phone still works. There is, however, another option to make before this hits. Al-Qaeda Tours is under development by the U.S. Department of Defense. So basically, they're kind of making a joke there in this article, bringing in Al-Qaeda. So the U.S. Department of Defense supposedly is looking into this as well. Then let me bring another article up. So now we have this article about NASA providing information, but not a lot of information. So NASA is giving us, to me, this is how I feel, is that NASA is giving us half-truths. That's how I feel, okay? I'm not saying that there I'm not saying that definitively there is something out there. I feel that it is, but there's nothing out there to disprove my theory or our theory, people who believe that there is something in the solar system causing this and causing catastrophic events. I mean, according to my research, we haven't even hit the kind of, you know, we haven't even experienced the catastrophic events that are supposed to occur in the near future. But like I said, nobody has ever came out that I've seen that actually disproved something in our solar system that's not causing Earth changes. So again, I haven't found anything to disprove it, and I haven't found anything to really completely prove my own theory. But I believe in my theory. There's a difference. I know many of you have your own theories on this as well, and that's fine. Just do the research, which I continue to do on this. I don't just take one article and take it as, hey, I'm just going to stop my research now and not look into it. There's also another article from NASA. It says, finds few brown dwarfs close to home. This is dated June 8th, 2012. Astronomers are getting to know the neighbors better. Our sun resides within a spiral arm of our Milky Way galaxy, about two-thirds of the way out from the center. It lives in a fairly calm, suburb-like area with an average number of fellow residents. Recently, NASA's Wide Field Infrared Survey Explorer, which is called WISE, has been churning up a new crowd of stars close to home, the coldest of the brown dwarf family of failed stars. Now, they're still calling this a failed star. So now they're saying, okay, we did find something. Now we're going to investigate it. Or they've been investigating it, and they know what it is, and they just don't want to tell us yet. That is how I feel. I'm not saying that is, you know, what's happening. Everybody, you have to do your own research. I read the articles. I do the investigations. I'm not a scientist. I don't have the equipment. I can go online, download the program, and do my own research and monitor it. But, again, I'm not formally educated in this area. Again, as a layperson, doing your own investigation. You know, if you spot it up, you can kind of, you know, there's a huge puzzle out there, and you can just put the pieces together and kind of come up with your own theory. You can present it, try to prove your theory, or even disprove your own theory. But again, there's nothing that has disproved that this thing or nothing exists out there. So now NASA is coming out and saying there is something there, and they continuously call it a brown dwarf star. So now the article goes on to say this is a really illuminating result. Of the wide science, said Davy Kirkpatrick of the WISE science team at NASA's Infrared Processing and Analysis Center at the California Institute of Technology in Pasadena. Now that we're finally seeing the solar neighborhood with keener infrared vision, the little guys aren't as prevalent as we once thought. Now, they knew something was out there. I'm going to tell you something. I knew that... I read something and listened to something recently that someone did try to say that, you know, Zachariah Sitchin was either a fraud or he wasn't accurate enough. But I've read a lot of Zachariah Sitchin's work. Zachariah Sitchin also, there was an interview with him and Robert S. Harrington. They both were, you know, government scientists, and they found this. They both basically said that they called the planet X. You know, some people call it Nibiru. Some schools of thought and theories believe that Nibiru is part of another solar system, that Nibiru is the sun of a solar system, and that this solar system has a moon, it has other planets, it has planet X, it has Nibiru. So, and then other people think that Nibiru is planet X, and it's one, you know, destroyer, like you know, roaming around in our solar system, that it's just solo. So the thing is, there's many schools of thought on this. You have to do the research. You have to look at it yourself. I mean, I have my own theory. I know a lot of you in the chat know what my theory is. We all discuss it. We all kind of agree with some of these theories. But the bottom line is, NASA came out and said there's nothing out there. Then all of a sudden, it's coming out last year that there's a brown dwarf star. It was on CNN for less than 5 minutes. Nothing else after that I remember seeing. Then, or that I can find. Then... recently, now they're saying, hey, guess what? We did find something, and now we're going to investigate it. So it's one of two things.
either because they actually built this WISE, which is an infrared telescope that actually was able to find this finally, or they knew it was out there and they built the WISE telescope just for that. So, you know, it's not like they just built it and they found it. Why would they spend billions of dollars, I'm sure that's what it cost to build this thing, to see if there's something out there? They must have known something was there and wanted to build the system. So why wait till now to do it? So, again, it just puts the pieces to the puzzle together, and that's what I do as doing my investigation. Then it says WISE was launched in 2009 and surveyed the entire sky in infrared light in 2010. One of our mission's main science goals was to survey the sky for the elusive brown dwarfs. These small bodies start their lives like stars but lack the bulk required to burn nuclear fuel. With time, they cool and fade, making them difficult to find. Improvements in WISE's infrared vision over past missions have allowed it to pick up the faint glow of many of these hidden objects. Now, if there are several brown dwarfs, and I'm going to, this is pretty interesting, because what I'm going to do is post this in the chat room. Hold on, let me find the chat room. Post this in the chat room, and you're going to see a map of this. And for those of you listening on the radio, it's nasa.gov/mission, and then what you can do is just in the search type in WISE, W-I-S-E, and then it will come up with, you know, a few articles on this. So if you look and you come up, the actual title of the article is WISE Finds Few Brown Dwarfs Close to Home. So now the way they're kind of clustered and you see it, could it possibly be, and this is not my, you know, my theory, but this is a question that I have, could these possibly be the, you know, system, the Nibiru system that people think it is, with the different planets that are around Nibiru in their own solar system? So the thing is, to me, NASA's just giving us half-truths. They know there's something out there. They're monitoring it. Hey, they're letting us know a little something. Got to give them credit for that. But they're not giving us the full thing. And think about it. Think about if they were to confirm that something is out there that's going to cause some catastrophic events, or even be deemed an ELE, an extinction-level event. Picture how everybody or the world would react to something like that. I'm not saying they should hide things from us, but they should be telling us something, but to what extent now? So I'm kind of conflicted with that whole feeling, you know? So if they were to tell us that in 3 weeks an asteroid's going to hit us, or there's a planet in our solar system that is going to basically take us out, or there's going to be an X flare that hits Earth that's going to bring us back to, you know, how we used to live in the 1800s, how do you think people would react to that? I'm assuming most people would panic, especially in urban areas. There would be complete mayhem. There would be violence. There would be people who quit their jobs, wouldn't pay their bills. It would be complete mayhem. So I'm sure, you know, that's, you know, part of the reason why they wouldn't tell you that, to cause panic. Maybe they want to do more research on this thing. Maybe, just maybe, they didn't take Zachariah Sitchin's and Robert S. Harrington's, you know, professional assessment and the scientific assessment on this seriously back then. So who knows? I'm not NASA. I don't know. I don't have anybody, any contact from NASA that can confirm that, can prove whether it's out there or disprove that it's out there. Again, unless somebody can definitively disprove this theory or that this thing is not out there, I'm going to continue my research. I mean, there's only a few people that are kind of debunking this whole Nibiru thing, Planet X thing, and I don't see them providing any scientific evidence or astrological evidence that this thing does not exist. And I did read one article and that said that there's no Nibiru, and I had posted, are you sure you're not working for NASA? And the kind of people kind of laughed. But like I said, I'm sure if something was to come, we would be told. But the question is, how much time would we be given? What notice would we be given? So my advice to everybody is, whether this thing is really out there, something like this is causing the polar shifts, or something that's causing, you know, these events that have been happening over the last year and a half. Maybe something's coming closer that has a strong magnetic field as strong as the sun, and it's kind of playing tug of war, you know, between the sun and this, you know, orbiting body. But the thing is, again, just it doesn't hurt to prepare. I mean, Dr. Brown was on talking about doesn't hurt to prepare. Mentally prepare yourself for anything. It could be an economic collapse. It could be a catastrophic event. It could be this planet that comes around, like they said, like Sitchin said, every 3,600 years, and we're in that 3,600-year mark. So it doesn't hurt to prepare. We've all discussed it in the chat. Prepare yourself as much as you possibly can. I mean, to give you the honest truth about me, I live in Brooklyn. Everybody knows that. I'm a half a mile away from the ocean. I'm not going anywhere. I have this certain dynamics in my personal life that I cannot just pick up and leave. So if this thing comes around, I will meet the fate of everybody else that lives around me, including my family, my loved ones, and everybody else that lives on the coastal life. I mean, we all listen to John Moore. I like listening to John Moore, especially when in the beginning of July when John Moore also discussed the military briefing. I mean, yeah, it was scary, but, you know, I'm prepared. If that happens, I've been doing my research. What I believe is what I believe that is going to happen. You know, but again, there's only so much I can prepare. But for those of you who can and you have that kind of lifestyle where you can prepare, it's better to be prepared than unprepared. I would rather be prepared, even if something doesn't happen, I would rather be prepared for it. But if you're unprepared and something does happen, you're in worse shape. Actually, I have about 15 minutes left. I'm going to go to a quick break, and I will be right back.
Want to spread awareness to your neighbors, family, and friends about what is going on in our country today? It may be things you already know, like the large number of FEMA camps spread around this country to lock up citizens like you and me. What legislators are doing to strip states and people of their sovereign rights. Or legislation giving states the power to force vaccinate under a declared state of emergency. Do your neighbors understand what is going on? William Lewis Films offers the perfect tools to inform our population about this government's tyrannical shift from a constitutional republic to a despotic democracy. Films like 911 Ripple Effect, Beyond Treason, One Nation Under Siege, Washington You're Fired, Camp FEMA, Enemy of the State, Don't Tread on Me, Blood of Patriots, The Ron Paul Uprising, even 911 in Plain Sight, William's first production, are all available at williamlewisfilms.com. Get your DVDs today at williamlewisfilms.com. Educate against the police state.
I am an autonomous government agent here to steal your livelihood.
Not so fast. I'm Sovereign Filing Solutions.
And I'm the Sovereign. We're teamed up.
To bring you...
the truth without censorship.
Are you tired of being fed multi-million-dollar media lies?
Are you ready for the real story?
Sovereign Filing Solutions has teamed up with the Sovereign newspaper to make sure you get it.
And not the BS this guy behind me wants to feed you.
Take the step, help make the change.
Oh, come on, that's not even fair. How are we supposed to rule indiscriminately if you know what's going on?
You know the Constitution like the back of your hand. You've read books, listened to podcasts, attended lectures, surfed websites, and watched videos. You've made liberty your life's goal, but something seems to be missing.
Stickers from LibertyStickers.com. Exercise your freedom of speech with the world's most dangerous bumper stickers. That's LibertyStickers.com.
But wait, there's more.
You can buy Liberty stickers wholesale. Get them for 99 cents each when you put 100 or more in your shopping cart in any combination. Sell them or give them away. They're great for gun shows, flea markets, fairs, outreach, and more. Earn extra money, promote freedom, and spread the word. Need custom stickers, labels, or decals for your organization or business? Liberty Stickers makes them. Go to LibertyStickers.com to order or call 877-873-9626. LibertyStickers.com, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Okay, everyone, Valerie Ann back with the Truth Exposition 2 show. I am actually at Sandeo.com. I just want to see, this is from kind of an old article, but it's from Sandeo, and I just thought that this was pretty interesting that he had this on his website. I'm just going to read this article, and then for the last 5 minutes, I'll bring in Larry again because I know he wanted to talk. Okay, at Sandeo at space.com, it says, again, back last year around this time, well, actually later in September, NASA to announce new asteroid discoveries Thursday. And it says, NASA will reveal new findings about near-Earth asteroids during a press conference this Thursday, agency officials announced today. There's a reason why I'm bringing this up, by the way. Scientists will present results based on data gathered by NASA's Wide Field Infrared Survey Explorer Y spacecraft. The briefing will take place at 1 p.m. Thursday in NASA headquarters. From January 2010 to February 2011, WISE hunted for asteroids and comets in a mission called NEOWISE, with the NEO standing for near-Earth objects. The observatory found more than 33,000 new space rocks in the main belt between Mars and Jupiter. It says four panelists discussed discoveries from the NEOWISE project. NASA officials said those panelists are Lindsay Johnson, and gives the name of the people. The actual cost to launch the WISE in 2009 was $320 million and spent 14 months scanning the heavens in infrared light, and it shut down in February 2011. NASA has a special interest in asteroids. In 2010, the Obama administration directed the space agency to send astronauts to space to a space rocket by 2025 as part of a plan to get people to Mars by the mid-2030s. And NASA recently announced that it will launch an $800 million asteroid sample return. So they obviously know that there's a possibility that we may have to go to Mars to live, to see if it's inhabitable, because of possible asteroids. I know they're giving a time set of 2030s. I'm sure I won't be here in 2030, but I'm sure my son will. If I have grandchildren, I'm sure they'll be here as well as yours. So, you know, the thing is, they know that there's possibilities of something hitting us, which is why they're doing this research. They're giving you another, 17-year time span. But 17 years really isn't a lot of time from now. Oh, wait, I hope I'm still here. I'm not that old. But it just seems so long from here. So the thing is, people, the reason why I'm reading these articles is because NASA knows there's possibility of something coming close to Earth or hitting us. That's why they're monitoring it. I believe they give us half-truths. I don't believe they give us everything. I believe when we listen to shows like John Moore, we listen to Sandeo talking about things. You know, people, they're investigators, and, you know, Sandeo had his clearances, and I'm sure he has some credible sources that give some information as well as John Moore. So, again, we're getting half-truths. We're getting bits and pieces of everything. I'm going to bring in Larry, and I believe this may be Sarah I'm bringing in. Hey, Larry, you there?
Hey, yeah, real quick.
Hi, and Sarah, is that you?
Hi,
oh,
Sarah.
My God, you're live? This is live?
Yeah,
oh, no, we're all segmented.
I couldn't tell. No, it's really. Okay.
We're a segment of our imagination.
Yeah, I just have been holding. I wanted to pick you up. So, Larry,
there's some good and bad news about this. And I know that sounds a weird way to put it, but, okay, this nebula thing, it can't be a dwarf star. I'm going to tell you why.
Right.
Stars are made of gas. Even if they don't fire up like a stubborn old Harley on a winter morning, you keep kicking it and the damn thing won't turn over. But anyway, it's still gas, okay?
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
It still has a gravitational pull. Now, if we had a dwarf star that's a sister, so to speak, we'd have a binary star system. And if that was the case, to give you an analogy, imagine your right leg and your right arm tied to an elephant, your left leg and your left arm tied to a horse. All right, the elephant being our sun, the horse being that dwarf star. And they pull in opposite directions. They would rip you apart. You
exactly.
Being
the
Earth.
From the magnetic,
okay, so,
the magnetic field.
So, the gravitational pull in a binary star system would make it to where nothing would exist, okay? So we know that it's not a dwarf star. Now, it could be what they call a dwarf planet. or what astrophysicists call a planetoid. It's bigger than an asteroid, but smaller than a planet the size of Pluto, which they've kind of declassified and called a planetoid, too. Now, there could
last year, and I found it on YouTube, that they called it a brown dwarf planet that was larger than Jupiter.
Wow, no shit. I mean, no giant.
That's what I read, that it was larger than Jupiter.
Okay, well, then here's the bad side of it. I was thinking if it was a dwarf planet, it would be small, like a planetoid. Because it used to be, that's what they called a planetoid, was a dwarf planet. With a dwarf planet, bebopping through the solar system, it's kind of like a billiard table, a causal reaction. Anyway, you know, you hit one planet with something, then another planet, bing, bong, bing, you know, kind of thing. But anyway, you would mess with the gravitational pull of the planet that it would get near, which would really be not so good. If it got near Earth, we'd really be screwed, actually.
Right.
Something the size of Jupiter? Holy crap. There'd be no preparation. Even if it got as close as Mars is to Earth, it would be such a gravitational pull that it would pretty much suck the life out of Earth. But, you know, hey, what do I know?
You know what it is also? I want to share something with you guys really quick. We have 4 minutes, and I'm going to let Sarah speak also in a minute.
Size of Jupiter, they say?
Yes.
That's
that what
big?
It says. If you see the size, I mean,
do you realize how big Jupiter is?
Yes. We're like a little speck compared to Jupiter. That's what a lot of people's concerns is. So this was an article in,
Jupiter's,
I think it was January 18th.
Well, Jupiter's good. Jupiter's a good thing. I didn't know. Okay, I'll be quiet. No,
you're fine.
Don't
worry about it.
You know what they learned in college? Studying gravity.
Really quick. I just wanted to share this. The reason why I'm coming up with my own theories is, again, we're getting half-truths of things. You know, they're calling it a brown dwarf star. They're calling it a brown dwarf planet. You know, then they're going back to a planet, and they went back to a star. We're getting half-truths. Now, when you go to Sandeo.com, and I believe that Sandeo is credible. I've looked at his work. I've researched him for months and months. And there is an article that he has, or not an article, it looks like it may have been a YouTube video. It says Nibiru, Planet X, 2012, Proof of Government Conspiracy, and it's a video. And again, this is on Stan Deo's site. Now, when you click it, you're going to see when you click it, YouTube says this video has been removed as a violation of YouTube's policy against scams, spam, and commercially deceptive content. So, do you think do you think YouTube would know that this is deceptive, commercially deceptive content? So now,
by the government. What do you expect?
Yeah. So the thing is,
Google bought out YouTube. Yeah.
Expect the perfection, just like they expect of us. Yeah,
anyway.
Like I said, we're getting half-truth. We're looking at YouTube videos. There have been people who say in the Southern Hemisphere that they actually seen a second sun. Again, I'm not saying I don't believe them. I'd like to see it for myself. But there are too many people putting the YouTube videos. So you kind of got to watch out with that. Some of it
What does Stan Dale say?
Well, I'm just on his website, and he posts all this stuff, and he's done this research. What I will do is I'm going to get you he's on Coast to Coast a lot, and I listen to Coast to Coast. What I do is off-air, if you want, you can give me your email address, and let me email you, and I'll email you Sarah, too. I'll talk to you guys off-air, and you give me your email. I'm going to send you some of these videos, and I want you to listen to them.
I will.
We have about 30 seconds left. Yeah.
I have a stupid phone. I can't do those.
You don't have email.
You don't have email?
No, you got to come back, Larry.
Not on my phone. No, because I have a phone that's 12 years old. Okay. Like I said, that's why I'm having a stupid phone. Do you have the option of a smartphone?
The new me.
Well, this is what I got to do. I got to do Sarah and Larry. I have 10 seconds left. I wanted to thank everybody for listening to the True Text Position show.
Ooh,
thank you so
rocking.
Much for calling.
All right. Larry, you're great. I don't know how you learn all that being a trucker, really.
Well, I've been doing my research, but again, I'm going to be
what a trucker
with...
It's not really.
I'm going to be with you on Thursday night, so feel free to call back that night. Again, I have my show on next Saturday night, the same time as tonight, and call back next Sunday,
happy
guys.
Happy trails
we'll talk about
to
this.
You.
All right, everyone.
Again.
Seabird.
God bless y'all.
The chicken with an organic stick.
Okay. Thanks, guys. All right, everybody.
Bye.
Take care. Have
Love
a great
me.
Night.
Bye.
Okay, bye.
All right, bye.
Happy
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening in. It's so crazy. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening in. I hope you enjoyed the show. I'm going to be doing a lot more investigative work on this. I've been spending a lot of months on this, so I will do some more research and bring it to everybody as much as I possibly can. Thank you, everyone, and have a great night.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.